Hi, this is Claire, one of your mum mates. Just here to remind you that you're not alone. Yes, it's tough, but you're doing far better than you think. Now, I know you're a mum, but you're important too. And if you're feeling like you don't know who you are anymore or find yourself craving a new chapter after having kids, I'm here to help you. Oh, and tell your mum mates, this might just help them too. Hello lovely, this is a bonus episode for you today. I have taken the audio from our live. We've got a new live happening on a Monday called Hooray Her New Chapter. I am celebrating women starting new chapters that could happen in all different shapes and sizes, whether it's a fitness journey, a personal growth journey, starting a business, whatever it might be. We are celebrating women deciding to pivot their life, start a new chapter. It is so inspiring. Well, I am sharing everybody's stories because we all love the behind the scenes. We're all nosy. We all want to know what's really going on. And it's just so wonderful to hear they're just like us. So please enjoy this episode today. I am talking to Rachel from Fern and Rosie, and you can hear all about how she went from teacher to launching and running the most incredible low sugar jam business that is supplied in so many supermarkets across this country. You'll have seen I'm always talking about it. My children absolutely love it, and she is doing so well collaborating with huge names like Children in Need and lots of other exciting things in the pipeline too. Enjoy this chat. I think you'll find it really inspiring, whether you are wanting to start a business, whether you're wanting to do something else for yourself, whatever it might look like. I think you'll really enjoy this. Enjoy.
Hello. This is really exciting to be here. Very soon I will be welcoming Rachel from, oh, there we go. I'm just getting my alert to let myself know that I'm live. It always makes me laugh when I get that. Hello. Hi, Emily. Gosh, you're quick. Hi. How are you? Hi. How is everybody? Hi, Larissa. Lovely to see you. Always love seeing so many names that I recognise. Hello. I have a cuppa in hand. Do you? Well, this is actually my Aquarius mug, my birthday mug. Good morning. Just about morning, isn't it? Almost lunchtime. Hi, Nicole. Hope you're good. So today I am welcoming, I feel like I need a bit of a cushion. I am welcoming the amazing Rachel, who Rachel was a teacher and became an amazing, oh, that sun is just coming out. Perfect timing. There she is. I can see that she's on. So Rachel runs Fern and Rosie. Where is my jar of jam to show you? You may recognize Fern and Rosie. She is not only amazing on Instagram, but also stocked in many, many supermarkets. So I'm going to be chatting with Rachel as soon as she requests to join. I hope you're all right and you're finding how to do that. Whenever you're ready, whenever you've got a minute, request to join Rachel and I'll be able to welcome you into the live. But this is going to be a new series, so every Monday, normally at 10 o'clock, but we've made an exception for Rachel because I adore her. She has the most amazing energy. We've never met in real life, but I feel like I know her already, and I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be Hooray Her New Chapter. I am talking to lots and lots of incredible mums who not only are mums raising children, but also starting some sort of new chapter, turning things around, a fresh start, whatever that might look like. And so I've got loads of amazing people lined up for you already. How? So at the bottom, Rachel, there should be a request so that you can, the button plus what, oh, shall I request you as well? Popped up so that you can join me. Oh, there should be a camera with a plus sign or something that you can press so that you can join me. Don't tell me this is your first live. I don't believe it. You're so good on Instagram. I'm sure you've been live before. Are you managing Rachel? I know. She's coming. How are you, Effie? I hope you're okay. I hope you're good. Hi, Kat. Hi, Lulu. Lots of people. Hello, hello. So nice to see you all. Thank you for coming. Hi, Sophie. Hi, Stace. Really great to have you here. Hi, Claire. Oh, pastry and coffee. Sounds great. Very welcome here. Hello, Faye. Rachel, how are you getting on? I think she's struggling to find me. So I've added you, Rachel. I've invited you to join. I'm good, thank you. Ben and Rosie is unable to join. Why are you unable to join, my love? Let's try again. I wonder what's going on. Let me see if I can invite Rachel again. Thank you for being patient with us, guys. You know what it's like when you're going live. It's never going to go straightforward, is it? Particularly for our first one either. But we're going to have a really lovely chat today and hear all about Rachel's story, going from teacher to incredible jam business owner. Hello.
Hello.
You made it.
Sorry, what was happening was I was trying to join on my computer and it wasn't letting me.
Oh.
My phone. Hello.
I feel like I know you. I feel like we're speed dating.
I'm going to try and move my, bear with me, but you're balanced against a jam jar. So
of course. Well, I will hold up one of the jam jars while you're getting yourself sorted, Rachel. So this is the wonderful Rachel, who, like I say, I feel like I've known you for a long time. We've never managed to meet up, but one day we will.
Yes, definitely.
One day we will. And yes, Rachel is the incredible woman behind Fern and Rosie, the awesome jam brand, which I'm not just saying it, you will have seen. My kids eat this a lot. We all eat this a lot. It's just incredible. And I'm so excited to hear all about your just everything, to be honest.
Thank you so much. Yes, I've got two jam jars behind it now, so I feel like it's gonna be fine.
Ever the professional. I love
Ever
it
professional. Yeah.
It's always the way. I always have my laptop balanced on some sort of books or something.
You're on
like
your
that.
Laptop. No,
I have my phone stuck to my laptop.
Of course you do,
but then it makes it easy to like move it and stuff.
Yeah
Not that I've done it before or anything. This isn't your first live. You've been live before. I know you have.
I think I've always been live on my phone, though. I think what's thrown me is I just assumed I'd be able to join from my computer. But then for some reason, it didn't want to be my friend. But never mind. It's fine.
Well, it's really awesome to have you here, Rachel. Thank you so much for finding the time to chat to me when I was like, I know you're really busy, but I've got an idea. So thank you.
It's a fab idea and it's such a good series. It's such a good idea. It's a lovely thing to do. Thanks for doing it.
Yeah, I think it's the reason why I wanted to do it was I just love hearing other people's stories of how they've got to the point where they are in their life. And I love all that just because I'm nosy, basically. I'm super nosy.
Me too.
It's just nice to hear about like the behind the scenes, because I think so many things look like overnight success or someone starting a new chapter or whatever it might be. It's always different on Squares, whereas to actually hear someone's story can be really quite inspiring, even if it's, even if you're not bothered about starting a jam business. I think everyone's going to learn so much from you, Rachel. So it's lovely to have you. Both with the dimples.
Hi, Nia.
Hello, my love. I hope you're good. Thank you for joining us. So, Rachel, would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and your lovely family?
Best. So my name is Rachel. I've got three children, Fern, Rosie, and I've got George as well. So I'm like Claire with three. and I used to be a teacher before I started Fern and Rosie. So I was a teacher working in primary schools, mainly working in year six, sometimes year four. And when I went on to maternity leave with Fern and then Rosie and then George as well, I started to play around with this idea of starting a business. And Fern and Rosie, I always think, so some people say like they had a big spark and a reason why they thought, today I'm going to start my business. And that wasn't what happened with Fern and Rosie. So with Fern and Rosie, I think there were a series of sparks that happened along the way versus a light bulb moment. Yeah. So I think I was working as a teacher, so I was in schools. I could see firsthand the impact that good food can have on a child's ability to learn, but also ability to access the whole wide world. And I think I could see it's always the more vulnerable children within our classrooms that are coming into school and maybe they haven't had breakfast or they haven't had a healthy breakfast. And I could see how that was impacting them beyond just food. So yeah. I think food does a lot, you know, we know the importance of good food on our bodies and the impact that that has on our whole yeah. world. So I think I could see that. There was a big campaign by Jamie Oliver around school dinners. So there was legislation in place around what children can eat at lunchtimes. But actually that legislation doesn't, it only covers lunchtimes. So breakfast clubs and after school clubs are unlegislated, which means that schools don't have the guidelines or the support actually to make sure that, and it's absolutely, like, I'm a teacher. Schools work really, really hard and they're really underfunded. They're really stretched. Like, they don't have the support that they need. Yeah. And I think I could see that there was a problem there and that was possibly a space for a business to be supporting schools and making sure that children had access to healthier starts. Right. So I think I had that kind of happening. When I had my children, so Fern and then Rosie and then George, I started to learn about food in a completely different way. So I think particularly with Fern, you know, you get the weaning books, you follow the food accounts, you start to learn about what you should be giving your children, you know, trying to make those better choices. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped me to understand that there was a problem with some of the foods that we were giving to children and perhaps an opportunity for there to be a better choice. Yeah. And then the third thing is my husband. So my lovely husband runs a small business called, I always feel like I have to be, so he runs a business called Radar Preserves, which is a great, great business. They make things like chutneys and jams as well. So if you went into like your local farm shop or wherever your local farm shop is and there would be like your local jam producer, like that's Raydale. Okay. So if you go into a shop in Yorkshire, you'll likely see a Raydale product on the shelf, and it's a brilliant, brilliant brand, brilliant business. And but because of my husband, I did know that there was quite a lot of sugar in jam. So because there's quite a lot of sugar in jam, I felt like, so my husband told me there's a piece of EU legislation that says in order for a product to be called a jam, it's got to have at least 60 grams of sugar per 100, so 60% of that jar is sugar. And I didn't know that, and I think that when he said that and I didn't know it, I thought probably other people don't know that as well, and why don't we just put more fruit in? It didn't really make sense to me that was the product that was on the shelf, like that's the best thing we can make, that's the best thing. 60% sugar.
I had no idea.
And I don't think that is the best product that we can make. So to me it was really simple that we should make a product that contains more fruit and less sugar, because that's better for children but also for everybody. And I think what I learned as I started to make the product was actually it tastes better as well, because guess what? You can taste the fruit. So because there's more fruit in the jar, the jams actually taste really delicious, because I kind of think of it as like a cordial. Like the more you dilute the cordial, the more it tastes just like water versus the juice. And I think it's the same with jam. Like the more you dilute the fruit with sugar, the more you're actually just tasting the sugar versus tasting the taste of the fruit, which is what you get with Fern and Rosie. So the brilliant thing was that by making it healthier, it actually also made it tastier as well. So that was a bonus.
And I can verify that we all eat it in my house. So we eat it and we get through a lot of them. Yeah, we've always got loads on the go as well.
I'm much the same. And Superberry, the one that you've got, that's my personal favourite as well. So have I got one here? Superberry.
Yes, that's the one I've grabbed.
They're all good, but this one is particularly tasty, I believe.
Oh, it's amazing. That's so interesting. So just that it brought in your experience of working with children and just seeing the impact it's having, along with your environment, your husband running his business already. So have you already always had an interest in cooking food and things, or did that develop with having children?
No, I think I have. And I think it's funny because I'm actually quite interested in food. Really, really strangely, my very first job was working in like a health, when I was like 14, was in like a health food shop. And my job was, they ordered in like really big bags of ingredients, like really big bags of like yogurt covered raisins and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
My job was to weigh the big bags into smaller portions, and then that they went on the shelf and got sold. So I feel like it's really weird because, like, from a very, I always wanted to be a teacher. I always wanted to help people, is what I always wanted to do. But I think actually from very early on, I was kind of, I guess we all are, aware of food. And also my granddad, because my parents were both teachers as well.
Okay.
A lot of the time in the mornings, they were at school. So it was my nana and my granddad that were like looking after us in the morning and making us breakfast. And my granddad used to always make us jam on toast for breakfast, and he used to make his own jam. Yeah. So I think that's one of, and I think when we do like Fern and Rosie sampling, a lot of the things we always hear is, oh, that tastes like the one my nana made, or, oh my gosh, my mum used to make that, or my granddad used to make that. And I think that kind of nostalgia around good quality jam, and like that takes us back to when we were little. I think one of my big dreams is that the children that eat Fern and Rosie now grow up and then give it to their children.
Yes.
That's something that I want to happen.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, it's a brilliant story. And so lovely to hear, like, almost like all the dots are connected now, looking back, that there's little things that have happened in your life that have like brought you to this place. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's so great. So, okay. So you had this idea, and you started making jams. What was it like to actually start? So were you teaching whilst developing the product? Had you always thought you'd be some sort of business owner, or?
Not at all. I think for me, you know, a big part of Fern and Rosie, I think, is flexible working.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a huge problem. I think there's a really big problem with, once you have a family, finding a job that works around that family as well. And I think for me, I was a full-time teacher who then had like Fern and Rosie and George, as I said, and I couldn't work full-time because we didn't have the, I didn't have enough support. I love my parents very, very much, but I didn't have enough support around me to help me be able to work full-time. And also actually I wanted to be with my children. Everyone's circumstances are different, but I think I taught part-time. So after I had Fern, I went back 2.5 days a week, and then was the same with the children. So I was either on maternity leave, and I took about six or seven months with each child, and then was teaching part-time. And I think the fact that I was able to teach part-time whilst getting Fern and Rosie up off the ground, I wouldn't have been able to build Fern and Rosie if I'd been teaching full-time. So that's my luxury that I had, is that I was only teaching part-time, and that gave me, I have my children and I'm always busy, and looking after my children is a job, you know. But it did give me the time to think about things in a different way. And I think I spent a lot of those kind of early months and years of the business doing a lot of the work once I'd put the children to bed, actually. So I would get through the day, put them down, and then actually that's when I'd be on my phone researching whatever I was doing, or reaching out to whoever I was reaching out to start to build the business.
Amazing. And we all know that teaching part-time, as a teacher myself, I was an early years teacher, so you in your year sixes, they were just a bit too big for me. Me at the other end,
hard work.
I know, with friends who work part-time as teachers, it's not part-time hours, is it? Really?
No, you can still take over your life.
So the fact you've been still raising three children, you're working part-time as a teacher, and you're developing your incredible business, at what point then were you able to make the switch and decide to go all in on the jams? And how did that feel? Because I imagine there must be plenty of wobbles and all that sort of stuff. How did you feel about the actual shift?
Like, again, everybody's circumstances are different. For me, I need, my part-time teaching wage was needed. Like, I needed to earn a salary.
Yeah.
So I couldn't be full-time Fern and Rosie until Fern and Rosie was of a big enough size that it could support our family, because I wasn't in a position that I couldn't afford to not earn money.
Yeah.
I needed to earn money. I think with Fern and Rosie, what happened was we grew. So I remember when I started the business thinking, I'm going to see if I can get into like, I think I was like, can I get into 10 farm shops in the first month? Like, let's see if I can. And I got into 30 within like the first, I got in really quickly. And what I learned really quickly was people were really interested in the product because it is a good idea. Mm. So I think when you ring and you explain why Fern and Rosie, people are interested in that and they're happy.
Yeah.
To support
yeah.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
So we got picked up really quickly and we very, very quickly, we launched into Waitrose. And when we launched into Waitrose, followed by Yorkshire Morrisons. And I always thought like I wouldn't let Fern and Rosie, the business, impact on my teaching. So I was always like, I'm going to make sure that when I'm teaching, I'm being a teacher, and Fern and Rosie doesn't impact on that.
Distracting, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what I hadn't really kind of planned for in those early stage days was there became a point where teaching actually was interfering with Fern and Rosie, which wasn't something I'd kind of planned for. Mm. So I remember there being a time where it was one of my teaching days and I was in the classroom and we were about to launch onto Ocado. And Ocado sent an email and said, I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And they sent an email and they were like, you need to do this, whatever it was, this form, and it needs to be completed by 12. And there was no way I could do it because I was in, you know, shortly children would be in my classroom and I needed to be a teacher. Like that was my day to be a teacher. So I couldn't do Fern and Rosie. And I just remember thinking, I actually can't do all these things. And I have, I'm very, very lucky because I've got some really wonderful friends and wouldn't be able to do 30% of what I do without my wonderful friends. And particularly at the time, one of my good friends called Sally, I remember ringing her and just being in tears one day saying, I just can't do all these things. Like, I really don't know what to do. And Sally said, but Rach, you've got three jobs.
Well,
and nobody can have three jobs.
Yeah.
And at that point I was being a mum, I was being a teacher, and I was also running Fern and Rosie. And it was when Sally said that, you know, sometimes you just don't quite realise, but when she said that, I was like, huh.
You need someone else to tell you, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think at that point, like, I really loved teaching, which is why I carried on doing it for so long, because I loved teaching. Mm. But of those three plates, teaching was the plate I could put down. Like, I couldn't put down being a mum.
Yeah.
I couldn't put down Fern and Rosie because there wasn't anybody else to do Fern and Rosie. I could put down teaching because I could always come back to it. So I spoke to my head teacher and I said, I would like to take a sabbatical. I'm still too scared to go. I was like, I'm going to take a sabbatical. Yeah. I'm just going to think about this for a bit. And my head teacher in the school I was in, they were the most gorgeous school, which is again why I think I kept staying there for so long, because I loved them all. But they gave me a sabbatical, so I took it from the January with a plan to come back in the September. And then I think I handed in my notice like February or March. So actually, once I left teaching, I realised I can do Fern and Rosie, actually I can make this work. Yeah. I think I was a bit scared to do that initially.
Well, I think that's understandable, isn't it? It's a huge leap, like you said, but how amazing that when you did, you then committed and you made it work. I imagine there was, you know, you're so dedicated and passionate about what you do that you were going to make it work. I think there was no doubt about that. So that was, you know, even just, I'm saying just, but approaching the shops and going into the farm shops and putting yourself out there, how would you, what advice would you give to anyone? I think quite often the messages I hear from ladies who reach out to me are almost more often than not waiting to feel confident to do those sorts of things. And I always try and explain that, you know, actually you don't normally feel confident, you just have to act brave. Even though you're not feeling confident, you kind of have to believe in yourself and go for it, which is easier said than done. I imagine you must have had those feelings as well, you know, even going into farm shops to pitch your product. And what would you say to someone who's almost like waiting for that confidence to come?
Bit the more confident you'll be.
Yeah.
And I think as well, it is just to just try, because you'll learn so much. And like often you learn, you know, you'll get so many no's, I'm sure. You know, I get no's all the time. And I think something I read once was like, when you get a no, it's obviously, you know, there's that thing, isn't there, that a no is just a not right now.
Yeah.
Actually, if you take that no as an opportunity to learn, well, why no, and what can I do, and how can I make it a yes?
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. But then I also think, like, I play a little game, which I admit I used to play a little game, which was for every no that I got, I'd try and get 10 yeses. So if somebody sent me a message and said, oh, sorry, that doesn't work for X reason, I'd reach out to 10 different people and try and get a yes.
Yeah.
And that kind of mentality of being resilient, I think, being tenacious and just continuing to explain why it was important, is something that I guess your confidence comes with time, but also you get a little bit, maybe the more you go along, the more experiences you have where things go wrong.
Yeah.
And actually you do learn more from your mistakes than the things that go right. And I think, like, when I think about some of the things that used to really bother me and really upset me in the really early days, they wouldn't now, because the longer I go, the bigger the problems get.
Yeah.
So those little ones that really, really, really did bother me in the beginning, I'm hopefully a little bit better at dealing with them now.
Yeah.
And that those early learnings have helped me to deal with, like, the bigger problems that come along, so that every time there is a big problem, and that does happen, you know, probably weekly in the world of Fiona Rosie, I'm prepared for it, because there's always one and we always find a solution and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. One of my I don't know if you've ever heard it, the saying, everything is figure outable. I love that you'll always figure it out. You don't, it's not always obvious, but you'll always figure it out. But I think definitely that the belief you also had in yourself, but also in your product, that you knew your product was just what children, families need, is probably really helped you to spread that message and get it out there, even when you're not feeling so confident yourself. So
I think there is a problem with the foods that we're giving our children. There's a problem with the whole food system. You know, there's a lot of problems in the world, and there's always things that we can do to make it better. And I think when you're providing a product that is a better quality product and also does do good in the world, like we are, you know, we're a B Corp, we work with BBC Children in Need, we work with Fair Share, that we're trying to help. I think that kind of helps people to listen as well, because you're saying there's a problem, and here's a solution, and here's how it will help people. And I think that's helpful, I hope.
Well, I think it goes a long way, and I think it helps you to stand out, that there's purpose behind what you're doing, and your passion as well, isn't it? Hi, Mary. Mary's just saying hi to us. Amazing. So what does life look like for you now, Rachel? It must be very funny for you to look back at the Rachel that was growing the business, working part-time as a teacher, raising children. What does life look like for you now?
Busy. And I think it's funny, because I am I'm a teacher, and it took a long time once I left teaching, and even now I would say, oh, I'm a teacher, but I am doing this little thing. I think it took a lot of my time and a lot of confidence again to say, no, run a business. And it's my job. I think even now I still would say I'm a teacher. And I think that kind of imposter syndrome, I guess, of being like, and I think that was a big part of it for me, was I actually think being a teacher and doing a different job, if you are a teacher, you are so set up to work in any industry, because teachers are, in the nicest, best possible way, jack of all trades and master of none. We can do everything.
Yeah.
We can, you know, we can turn our hand to anything that we need to do.
Yeah.
And that means that you're really highly skilled and can work in any different environment, because you've got all these different learnings. And also you're used to spinning 1,000 plates, because if you think about, I always think with teaching, if you could have taken a snapshot of that kind of 8:15 till 9:15 window and think about how many different people you talk to, how many different happening within that classroom that you're juggling, how many different types of children there are and how you need to talk to them in all different ways, and the family members and the teaching staff, and then something else has happened. Somebody's grandparents died, and all these horrible things that are happening, and you're focusing 30 children and making them be happy to be there and enjoy their time. Yeah. That's a really big skill.
Yeah.
So actually, if you can do that, you can probably do most things. Yeah. And I think that being a teacher has been a real privilege, but also that's a big part of what's enabled me to build and grow Fern and Rosie.
That's amazing. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I absolutely love that. That's amazing. So can I ask, looking into the future, what goals do you have for yourself, Rachel? To what are you striving for, aiming for?
The next part of the Fern and Rosie journey, I think, is team. So I'm really excited about the team that we have at the moment, but also growing that and bringing in more people so that we can help to get to more people. We've got some really, really huge exciting news that I will be I'll be banging down the door soon to say, help, we've got really good news. But we've got some good retailer news coming soon, so you'll be able to find currently Fern and Rosie is in Waitrose and Ocado and Yorkshire Morrisons. And we've got some more news coming soon, so that's great. So I think a big part of kind of short-term next steps are making sure our new launches go really well and that you can get Fern and Rosie in as many places, because I also think people are really busy, families are really busy. So actually being able to get Fern and Rosie into supermarkets where people are, and making it easy for them to shop our products is a big part of what will help us, but help everybody. Yes. You know, we need that visibility of being in lots of different places. So I'm quite excited to see what happens with Fern and Rosie for the next kind of 6 to 12 months. Has got a really big growth journey. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens and getting the team in place so that we can look after that. And I also want to talk to more customers as well. Like, something I really miss is talking to people a little bit more about the product. Like spending more time on socials. It's funny, we had a meeting this morning, we had a team meeting this morning, and lovely Ayla, who looks after like the customer service side of the business, so like if somebody's order gets lost or something like that, she was doing a check-in and she was like, "Don't we just have the most lovely customers?" And I always say this, because I always say, like, Fern and Rosie customers, like, when they complain, and it doesn't happen often, but when they complain, they're like the nicest. I'm really sorry to bother you. I don't want to be a pain, and I know you're really busy, but this happened, and I'm like, we sent the wrong order. It's our fault. let us know and we'll fix it. But our customers are just always so lovely. We're so lucky.
I think that probably has something to do with you, Rachel, being the face of the brand as well. I think that's what really helps. I think people really connect with you as well, the face behind the brand. So yeah, I can imagine why.
They're the loveliest people, and I just think we're so lucky. Because we never get grumpy pumpy. And if we do get a grumpy pumpy, I always think that's not a real Fern and Rosie customer, actually. Because our Fern and Rosie customers are just lovely. Feel very lucky.
Oh, amazing. You just reminded me of something I did want to ask and I forgot, and I hope you don't mind, but just to, was there any point, particularly with, like you're saying about leaving teaching and then starting the business, and particularly you're so good at showing up on social media, which is not the easiest thing. I think you have such a good balance between the personal brand, getting to know you, but also you're great at showing your products and how to use your products and things. Was there any point of where you worried what other people would think when you did that? Because I know that holds a lot of women back from wanting to perhaps start something or start a new chat, and it's worrying about what other people think. Did you ever struggle with that?
And I still do. And I think if there's an option of sharing a Fern and Rosie jam or me, I will always pick the Fern and Rosie jam. If there's an opportunity to get, it's always for me about hiding behind the jars versus being
I think that's understandable.
So I think sometimes I have to do things, you know, when you have to put pictures up of yourself and things like that, and you think, oh, it's really embarrassing. But again, I guess just the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And I always kind of think as well, there is like the person, the Rachel Kettlewell person, that's like the Fern and Rosie person. I don't have my own personal social media. Yeah. I don't know if that's the difference. Like, I don't have my own Facebook or my own Instagram.
You haven't got time for that.
No, do you? But you just have Hooray. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of others, but I try to do like a home account. I think I post like once a year. I got time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think just having those one accounts and focusing on that is important, because otherwise, like you said, you end up just, you can't keep on top of all the admin.
Too many plates once again.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. That's fantastic. Well, just before I let you go, I just wanted, so you're busy mum, you've got three children, you're running Fern and Rosie, which is just incredible. I wondered if you could share, just how do you look after you, Rachel? Because like, who's looking after you?
That is a 2024 resolution, is that I need to take better care of myself.
I think we've all got that one, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think so. So I think it's, so a big one for me this year is I've just changed my Fern and Rosie contract so that I will work flexibly over the school holidays. And again, that's something that's taken some time to be able to build up to. But what I learned in 2023 was, because I was running a business, but then also being a parent, over the school holidays I didn't have enough holiday to take to look after my children, and I actually felt like I was doing a rubbish job of all the jobs. So this year I've worked with my team, and I will be over the school holidays working flexibly, and that can look different on different days. It might mean I'm taking days off, it might mean I'm just checking my emails a little bit, or it might mean I'm in doing meetings. But it just means I've got that flexibility. And we've only done it once, February half term. I
think
it was good. So for me it worked really well. I think there's still some learnings to take from it, but the team as well thought it was fine. They don't mind.
And the kids
I was able to be with the kids more and not feel like I've just got to do this and then I'm going to come back. And I think that there is that danger, because you have your phone and you're working from your phone. You posted a picture, Claire, years ago of you on your phone. I think Mason had taken it. Do you remember?
Yeah, I know which one.
Yeah, and I think that's it, is we're so busy working. The danger is, because you're working on your phone, that it's so easy to always be on, when actually you need to be not, or try, or, you know, there's always a balance. But I remember Sarah Davies saying that, like, she works in a different way than how I work, but she was saying, like, if she's at the football match, she's at the football match. Like, she's not looking at anything else other than the football match. And I try and do that a little bit.
Yeah.
yeah.
I know that feeling. Oh, amazing. Rachel, it's just been the best chatting to you. Thank you so much for giving me your time. And like I said, I feel like I know you already, just from being on Instagram and the amount of times we've spoken. And I remember those milestones. I remember your post when you said you'd left teaching, and I remember you posted, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I think I messaged you just to say like the best of luck. But so yeah, it's just been incredible to watch your success and watch you build your business, and just wish you the very best luck. And I really hope one day we do get to meet.
It must be really lovely. Definitely. Like, I will message you and let's get it in, because I would love that.
That would be really lovely. But thank you for giving up your time to appear and be my first guest on our new little series. So thank you, Rachel. And just to recap as well, anyone who's just joined, if you are looking for reduced sugar jam, and check out just an incredible woman building an incredible business with such a fantastic purpose, check out Fern and Rosie Jams in so many supermarkets, but also doing incredible things on Instagram and Children in Need, and lots of exciting announcements to come soon as well. So thank you.
See you again soon, and thanks so much for your
Definitely. Thank you so much, Rachel. I'll leave you to your day. Thank you. Thank you everyone for tuning in as well. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening today. I really hope you found it helpful, and perhaps you could share it with one of your mum mates and they might find it helpful too. Oh, and I'd love to be mum mates with you. So please sell me a selfie of you listening along. I'd love to get to chat to you. And if you could leave a review, that would be awesome. Send me a little screenshot of your review and I will send you a discount code to use on our site. Bye.